Thank you for joining me today for Wealth, Health, and Other Things You Should Know. My name is Brian Butel. I am a Senior Vice President and a Certified Private Wealth Advisor, Certified Exit Planning Advisor, and Certified Trust and Financial Advisor with UBS Wealth Management in Boca Raton, Florida, who, along with my son Cameron and our team, are dedicated to a relentless pursuit of knowledge and to do our best to address our clients' most formidable financial needs. I hope you may find each and every podcast an opportunity to gain new insight and perspective on many of the most relevant issues of our time. So let's get going. Thank you for joining us today. I can't think of a more timely topic in the world we're in particular with the amount of individuals from a generation, the baby boom generation, such as myself, and are small business owners out in the business world today. With that, I'm extremely pleased to have Scott Schneider, who's Vice President of the Exit Planning Institute and the operating partner in Schneider Premier Growth, a small family investment company. And Scott is responsible for the strategic direction of the organization, along with overseeing the company's operations and chapter development. Scott is a lifelong entrepreneur, but really most important, Scott, is you and your father's involvement in the Exit Planning Institute, which I know more and more business owners are becoming aware of it. But if you would take a moment to explain to people exactly what was it or what is the Exit Planning Institute and why did you and your father decide to create a valuable and a badly needed program?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate being here. Certainly a very timely topic, I think, given our current environment. But yeah, so I guess the Exit Planning Institute is a professional education company. So we support the professional advisor. And even more specifically, we support advisors like you that are certified exit planning advisors. So you can think of EPI as in really three ways. One, we provide best-in-class content and training. We provide ongoing practice support and advisor development. And then we provide the advisor with some type of connectivity to the business owner. So whether that be directly through an educational forum or symposium, or maybe indirectly because we're conducting some piece of research, we try to connect both advisor and owner together. So thus, then EPI becomes actually a little bit more than just an educational company. We really become a community of really all kinds of different advisors that are helping owners grow value in their companies, align their personal and personal financial goals to eventually have a very successful transition. And to the second part of that question, you know, why did Dad and I get involved with EPI is that me and Dad were kind of always the perfect match. Dad came from large kind of corporate all the way through, kind of worked his way down actually from big corporate through Price Waterhouse to smaller family businesses inside of the Northeast Ohio community and the Cleveland community where we're from and here in Cleveland, Ohio. And then Dad went out on his own. He said, I wanted to take this process that I've created over the years and start to implement it in different industries on my own as a value growth or strategic business consultant. And then Dad started to get into some M&A work. And Dad kind of thought that there was a missing link. He stumbled upon the Exit Planning Institute back in 2008 and became a certified exit planning advisor to add in this kind of holistic approach to everything. And so Dad was a member of EPI before we were actually owners. Then in the background, I owned my own company, kind of a serial entrepreneur. I think it's one of the reasons I said that I think Dad and I make a really good team is that Dad has this advisory entrepreneurial cap on, and then I have this kind of serial entrepreneurial cap on. And I sold my first company in 2010, and probably like many owners who might even be listening right now, kind of needed to find themselves after that sale. And so I ended up joining Dad's consulting firm to help him and his business partner at the time grow that firm. And concurrently, we started Schneider Premier Growth, which became our investment vehicle. And today, Dad and I not just own EPI, but we own five other entities. But we really spend most of my time here at EPI, and really here's why. One thing that Dad and I always aligned on was that we thought that owners really needed to change their outcome. Particularly the baby boomer business owner, maybe 70, 80% of their wealth trapped inside of their business. They were trying to figure out, how do I extract this wealth? How do I harvest this wealth? knowing also that they're only about 20% likely to actually do that, meaning about 80% of the companies that are put on the market actually fail to do so. And we, you know, what a shame.
Yeah, people aren't aware. I think everybody thinks their business is saleable, but in reality, it could be a great business that generates and maintains a great lifestyle for them, but the business isn't really saleable. But what better program to have created than people like you and your dad who've actually done it already? You've had businesses, you've run businesses, and you've been involved in the sales side. And that's what I find in talking with people, the big difference is, you know, they say, well, what's the difference between an exit planning advisor and a business broker? And there's a radical difference. And if you wouldn't mind, you know, just briefly giving the crucial differences.
Yeah, I think most, particularly business owners, think of exit planning advisors as business brokers only because I don't think that they're necessarily understand the full breadth of what exit planning is. I think most people think, hey, I'm going to sell my company. I'm going to call a broker. And in 12 months, they're going to kind of make this thing right. And we're going to go to sell. Little do they know that, you know, to really have a ready and attractive and be prepared to sell your company, it could take 1, 2, maybe even three years to do so. And that process is really orchestrated, conducted, organized by a certified exit planning advisor that really has a holistic approach across what we call the three legs of the stool. They're not just taking a business approach. They're taking business, personal, and financial, and aligning all three of those things for the business owner. Whereas the business broker certainly has a spot on the team. They certainly are a part of the exit planning ecosystem, but they're really a come in towards the end of the equation when we're ready to go sell that company. They would be somebody that would help us do that, just like an accountant might help us do a certified valuation or a tax plan. They have a place in the exit planning world or ecosystem, but the certified exit planning advisor, the exit planning advisor, is someone that has that holistic approach that is involved from step one all the way to exit, or what we would consider all the way from discovery through prepare and eventual decide, really being that advisor that I think kind of fills that empty seat for a business owner. And so that, I think there's some pretty big differences.
Yeah. So exit planning really is a business strategy of owning a business. And I think that a lot of business owners are involved in their day-to-day operations, but somewhere along the line, if we can talk about that a little bit later, everyone looks to exit through retirement or a sale. And we'll talk maybe briefly about some of those differences, but essentially, it's a roadmap that takes a business owner from the running of the business to start thinking about in advance, how and ultimately they exit their business. And, you know, one of the key things, and I think it's pretty astounding, how many business owners have really even thought about this?
Minimal. I think that if you look at some of the state of owner readiness statistics that the Exit Planning Institute has put out, it's something crazy. It's something like 50% of owners have no written plan for their eventual exit, yet 80% of their wealth is trapped in this. And if you're looking at the particular baby boomer crew, they're saying anywhere between 50 and 70% of them want to exit in the next 5 years. So, you know, I guess the short answer is no, not a lot of people have actually thought about this, because I think it kind of even goes back to what you're saying earlier, kind of about the business broker conversation, where because they're not thinking about exit planning as a business strategy. They're thinking about exit strategy as 12 to 18 months, I'm going to sell my business. Almost like maybe they would sell their house. They, you know, maybe paint the shutters, they get the rugs clean, they set it up for somebody to look at, and maybe it's on the market for a month, and boom, bada bing, if you have a good place and it looks good and it's attractive and ready, it sells. Well, a business is wildly different than that. And it also involves stuff outside of the business that, frankly, an owner, particularly a baby boomer owner that might have run this company for 20, 30 years, doesn't really think about that whole personal and personal financial side. So it's much more complex. And it's absolutely something that should live and breathe in what you do every single day. I think that's one of the big things that certified exit planning advisors, people inside of the EPI community overall, that we're trying to bring awareness to, is that it's really no different. You should always run your business with the end in mind, whether it's planned or unplanned.
So what it says it really involves, it's a collaboration between the business owner's attorney, their CPA, and a certified exit planning advisor to start to prepare. What optimally for a business owner, what do you feel is the optimal time to start preparing? Because so many people that I've run into, they don't really, it doesn't dawn on them until the phone rings, generally from a competitor who's saying, hey, I'm interested in buying your company or your business. And, you know, from there, it the whole range of emotions hits, well, I haven't thought about it, or how do you even really know that's the best value? So it's this collaborative effect, but, you know, there's many and a whole process that's involved, correct?
There is. There's a whole process. And so it's probably twofold. So I would answer that question as right now. When is the best time to start preparing? Right now. So I don't care if you're the 25-year-old entrepreneur just starting out or the 75-year-old entrepreneur trying to exit, you should start exit planning right now. And because if you think about exit planning as this, so I actually think that most business owners do exit planning every single day. They don't call it exit planning. They do it very unintentionally, and it's not very deliberate. It's not methodical. It doesn't breathe inside. There's no rhythm to it. Again, short answer being right now, and here's why. If I said to a business owner, I could give you happier and more engaged employees that thought more like owners, that lived inside of a really good culture that everybody loved, that I give you systems that are way more efficient, I could give you process and documentation to make everything flow easier, I can give you very profitable and diverse customer base, I think every owner in the room's hand would go up. And I would say the same types of things make a business ready and attractive to sell. So why wouldn't you be doing that right now? Again, I don't care if you're the starting entrepreneur or the exiting entrepreneur. Now, saying that, if you're a baby boomer and you're kind of saying like, look, I might have 5 years, 2 years, 3 years, the ideal time frame to have a really impactful and valuable exit strategy is at least 3 years. So if you're a person in their 60s right now, you should probably, and you want to be out in the next 5 years, you should definitely be thinking about it now, because to really have an impact, a true impact, it'll probably take your advisor about 3 years to really make that happen for you. But I would say across the board, regardless of what age you are, the time to start exit planning is right now, focusing on right now.
Which is good advice. On an overview basis for business owners out there, what are some of the steps involved when you're preparing now as you kind of work through that process?
Sure. So the steps that we call them, we actually formalize it. We call the five stages of value maturity. So before we can even understand where we want to go, the holes in our business, weak spots, the strong spots, the needs, and then not just in the business, but in our personal financial strategies, we have to identify what we have first. So in the first step, I would say, if you're thinking about it in these five steps, is to identify and assess what you have. Once you've identified and assessed what you have as owner and as an advisory group, we can then begin our analysis to say, okay, first, let's protect what we have. Let's build a really good, strong foundation, some simple de-risking type activities. Once we've done that, we can start to really strategically build value, or what we call really accelerate value. And to get us to that fourth step, kind of walking up that staircase to eventually be able to harvest our value. And then the ultimate goal, I think, for any owner is to manage it for a lifetime to come. So take that 10, that 50, that $100 million that we might extract or harvest from our business and manage it for a lifetime to come. So if you're thinking about it, I think about it in these kind of five stages.
A lot of times a business owner will go through this process and they get to the end, and ultimately it becomes that decision, like you were just saying, do we sell or do I keep it? Or, you know, and because as you know better than most, it's a highly, highly emotional time period. It's, you know, a lot of times people took a business from nothing. I mean, you know, we could sit here and talk about different stories of people who become enormously successful, who started, you know, with
out of a garage.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, they're all wonderful stories, but of course, there's a huge amount of emotion in getting to that decision. And surprisingly, it's not uncommon, even after that event, there's some regret because they've lived and breathed that business as like a member of their family, and now it's not there. So that is also, I mean, a huge part of the whole planning process is to prepare for that as well, correct?
Correct. Absolutely. And I think that, so what we call that concept at EPI, and a lot of these concepts that we're talking about right now are rolled into the ultimate methodology, which is called the value acceleration methodology, the process that actually we go out and execute this with. But yeah, there's a whole side of this that's very, very personal for a business owner. Pricewaterhouse came out with a study that said 75% of business owners profoundly regretted selling their business just a year after selling it. And it wasn't because they didn't maximize value and minimize taxes. And it wasn't necessarily because they didn't really have a sound financial plan. It was because there was no personal vision, no personal planning. To your point, for owners that have owned their company for 20, 30, 40 years, you've probably worked 60, 70, 80 hours a week in that business for those years. It's been your passion, just like me. I could tell you that I'm here in my office, or when we were kind of pre-COVID, I would travel 200 days out of the year. And people said, Scott, how do you do that? And I said, well, easy. I love it. It's what I do. I couldn't imagine stripping this away from my life. Now imagine doing it 20 or 30 years just like that. You're losing a passion. But I don't think that a business owner's business really defines them. I think that there's much more to life than that. I just don't think that a passionate entrepreneur that has been growing his or her business over 20, 30, or maybe even 40 years has even thought about a passion or a life outside of that. So there's I think that's why we focus on that maybe 3-year time frame to say, what are our passions outside of our business? What is the personal financial strategy that I need to accomplish all of this? And then how do I situate my business to get me there? So it's not the business driving it. It's really your personal vision and passions that are driving it. And then the business is just another investment vehicle.
Right. So, you know, it all starts somewhere. And part of that is when you start looking at exit planning, you go through the discovery process about your business, how it's run, a whole process just in discovery. And then there is some methodology of business valuation to, you know, look at, okay, based on what you're doing now, your business would have a valuation between X and Y. But there's also ways of improving upon that. In some cases with maybe business strategies or things that the owner didn't look at, so that ultimately, whether it's 2 or 3 years from now, the business may command a higher valuation. But also then, since you said earlier on, 80 to 90% of most business owners' net worth is tied up in their business, it's a comprehensive personal financial plan, looking at the business assets, looking at what they're doing now to tie this all in, and then ultimately an action plan.
Yeah, absolutely. It's tying everything all together. I always think that business owners, whether they realize it or not, have these like three dots floating around in their world, right? Here's all my business goals and passions. The other dot floating is here's all my personal passions. And then how do I get a personal financial strategy in here that ties this whole thing together for me? So absolutely. After discovery, which gives us a really good look at what is my business worth today and what is the potential value of my business. And then the question becomes, well, how do I fill that what we call that value gap? And a lot of the times the owners have to fill that value gap because there's a significant wealth gap in their life. Is that once they've said, look, okay, I want $20 million to live on for the rest of my life. They have 10, to keep the math simple, they have $10 million outside of the business, which means their wealth gap then is $10 million. The question becomes is, well, can the business fill that $10 million mark? Well, if your business is only worth $5 million, you got some work to do. You have to double the value of your business to really get to your $20 million mark. And that's really where the value acceleration, the work comes in.
Right. And the value of any business is going to be its transfer value to somebody else. That's going to, you know, in a nutshell, determine the value of your business. And, you know, I think what business owners have to understand is there is a process that an individual can go through to actually start to discern that. And, you know, come up with realistic, which may, for some folks, you know, they may be overly optimistic on business value, but to realistically look at what their business is truly worth.
Absolutely. I think that having that diagnostic or that enterprise value assessment or that discovery happen, it allows, and for me as a business owner, I love understanding where I stand in the marketplace, right? I like looking at even benchmarking. What's my margin like? What's my SG&A like? What are the average salaries for people like this in my industry? This kind of report that one of our SEPAs can do will not only tell you again what your business is worth today and what it's worth tomorrow, but it'll showcase all kinds of different benchmarks for you. I think it's actually a very eye-opening experience for many owners. And actually in a very positive way, honestly.
You said earlier on, it's a collaboration between the trusted advisors of a business owner, their attorney, their CPA is front and center as part of the process, who generally is very much involved with the business owner, and a financial advisor who has background and training in working in situations like this, all on a collaborative basis, really to try and all and achieve, you know, the best result for the business owner when the time comes.
Yeah, there's no doubt that there's no way that a business owner can go at this alone. I mean, think about all the people that surround a business owner in their daily life, not even their advisors. Think about their general managers and their vice presidents and their plant managers or their production managers or their marketing directors. There's all kinds of people that advise a business owner every day. And this value growth project that aligns business, personal, and financial and eventually allows you to exit your business takes a very good team of advisors that really believe not only in this value acceleration process, but really have like an organizing principle, I'd say, around aligning those three legs of the stool: business, personal, and financial. So, and I think that you really included the kind of the core people. They need a really good financial advisor. They need a really good CPA. They probably need a really good business type consultant, and they might involve their attorney early on as well. But that kind of core team really needs to exist, and they all really need to be collaborating, moving towards the same common goals and believing in the same kind of principles.
Everyone needs to be communicating with each other for the ultimate best results and the ultimate goal.
Absolutely.
See, most folks, and again, we're talking at a kind of an overview level, but some of the ways in terms of a business owner may look at sale, obviously, in a lot of cases, it's transfer to family. It's intergenerational transfer. And I think, you know, every business owner, and I put quotation marks on that, would like to think it's easy, it's great, I'm going to pass it on to my kids. But touch briefly on obviously the pros, but also what some of the cons might be on that method of business owner transfer.
Obviously something near and dear to my heart, right? I'm in business with my dad, and I've been in some sort of business with my dad probably since I was like 15 years old. And so family business runs pretty deep for the Snyder family. So when I always think about I think a couple of things. One, I think legacy. So when I think about pros, I think legacy, I think trust. I think that if the kids are involved in the business, are well-respected inside of the business, keeping that vision and that culture going, right? And so I think there's a lot of positives. Sometimes for the owner, so for dad, for say in my situation, I don't know if it's the most lucrative option for dad. Now, I would always debate and argue for that the next generation shouldn't be gifted. They should buy the business. They should buy the business from mom or dad. Now, they might take a little bit longer of a payout, right? They might not get a little less cash up front. And instead of taking like a 5-year earnout or a 5-year note, we're taking a 10-year note. But I think that, you know, there are some cons there. The biggest con for me, though, and I think when we talked about collaboration and communication amongst advisors, is communication amongst the two generations. Communication for me and between me and my dad. Because I think a lot of the times in a family transition, there's almost a forced generational transition, where the son or the daughter might work inside of that family business, but they've never really wanted to own that company. They might be passionate about being a business owner and entrepreneur. So I would challenge some of the family business owners to not think about their family business as a business, but think more about it as a family enterprise. So if we owned the Exit Planning Institute and Dad has been very passionate about education and speaking and publishing and content creation, that if I wanted to go do something else with the family enterprise, we can extract the money, we can harvest the capital from the sale of our company and go do something different that the next generation is equally as passionate about. And so I think the biggest con sometimes could be that there's a forced generational transition. I do think that that's why we see some of the statistics in family business where it's only 30% likely that the business will be successful from first generation to second, and only 12% from the second to third. And I think we could debate probably many reasons that happens, but I think that a lot of the times there's some communication that needs to be had up front.
Right, right. And I mean, then you have, you know, management buyout or sale to existing partners. That can work very well, but it also comes with its cons as well, if you touch on that as well briefly.
I think that if you're looking at certainly partners. So we were just talking to an owner that he's in his 60s and his two other partners are in their early 40s. So it actually makes for kind of a cool transition. Now they all have to kind of agree on that price of the business. And I would recommend certainly having some outside advisors come in. But I think the management buyout is one of the most interesting for me. I think that if you're training really good managers, they're having them start to think like owners, and you currently have a business that's very owner independent, right? The business is not dependent on you because of your executive management team. I think that showcases a real opportunity. Now, again, I think much like the family transition, how are they going to fund this transition? How are they going to fund this sale? Are you, the current owner, the seller in this case, going to have to kind of hold some paper a little bit and extend a loan? I don't know if it's your most lucrative option or the option that'll give you the most cash up front. But in my opinion, when you're looking at some of these internal exit options, partner buyouts, management buyouts, sale to employees, transition to family, there's a little bit more of maybe an emotional thing going on there because you're passionate about your people, your family, or your management, and you'd like to see this business kind of live on, this legacy of this business live on. So pros and cons.
Yeah, and it is. It does, like we said earlier on, it becomes like an extension of the business owner, and it's viewed that way. It's like, you know, it's their baby. I started this. The other, which is starting to gain a lot of interest, and I think a lot of business owners have either they're not aware of it or it's not brought up, but is sale to employees. And that can be it may not work in every case, but, you know, through employee stock ownership plans, it's another method of creating liquidity or assisting in the exit where the employees essentially become owners. And we could probably do a whole program on that because there's different nuances, obviously, to that. But I think it's important that business owners are aware, yeah, you can, in certain situations, it may be advantageous to look at that. All of these things we're talking about, to me, reinforce the expertise, the attorney, the CPA, the financial advisor having, you know, because some of these are more complicated. So, but, you know, I don't know what your thoughts are on the ESOPs, but we've recently, you know, had more interest in that as a method of transition.
Absolutely. I think employee ownership overall, right, whether it's like a co-op or an ESOP, I think is, for me as an owner, actually very fascinating. But we're kind of like a tight group of people around here, right? So again, I think it goes back to if you have a really good culture, you have a lot of employees that really contribute and bought in, they like the process, the people, the product, the customer, this option might certainly be right for you. I think that employee ownerships, if you look at them and study them, it shows that the employee is actually a little bit more productive inside of an ESOP versus a regular company.
So Scott, the last is obviously a sale to a third party. And that can come in many different formats, you know, all with advantages or disadvantages. So if you would, you know, kind of touch briefly on the different types of those sales to an outside party.
Sure. I think that there's really two that come to mind that are probably the most likely for lower middle market business owners. One, a sale to private equity, and one, a sale to a third party, like a synergistic type of buyer, perhaps a strategic buyer, like a competitor. And so I think that this is probably going to give you the most money, the most chips off the table, the most cash up front, and the best, perhaps the best terms right out of the gate. I don't think that it's unlike the internal ones that we talked about, that you might face employee layoffs or terminations. You might face a brand change. You might see your office close and have them combined. I think there's some various things in there that, frankly, are just a little bit emotional for a business owner. But nonetheless, I think that those are some very, very likely options for many, many lower middle market business owners. And there's a lot of positive that goes along with that as well, because I think that there's still a lot of, from a private equity standpoint, regardless of what type of environment on, there's still a lot of money out there. So if you have a good and ready business, this is probably a really good option for you.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity right now in private equity based on where everything is at right now with interest rates. So, you know, the key thing, and so many people, they're running their business, everything is going well, and then the phone rings. And they get approached to buy, someone wants to buy their business. And granted, we've talked about this at a very, very high level. You can get far more granular in all of these aspects we talked about. But for that business owner, the phone rings, she picks it up and hears, I want to buy your business. Maybe it's a competitor. What would you suggest would be the logical next steps in that situation?
Sure. So the logical next steps, I think that certainly if you feel you have a ready, attractive business and you feel personally prepared, is to entertain the offer, but not entertain the offer directly on the phone right there. Take the phone call, have an initial conversation, and then let's bring in your advisors. Your advisors, particularly if they're trained inside of a methodology or a process like you are, would know the right things to do next. So my first step is I would entertain any opportunity. I think that comes along. If you're already out there getting calls and offers, you probably have a pretty good business. Now, what they're saying to you when they make that phone call, just to make sure we all understand, is that they don't probably know a ton about your business, but it looks pretty attractive. And there's a difference between attractiveness and readiness. So this is why you go approach your advisors, because now your advisors say, okay, we have this opportunity. Now let's analyze what we have here at this company so that we can approach them back saying, okay, we know how ready we are and we know what our business is worth. And so you'll know that that offer that they might be kind of trying to entertain or offer is a valid offer. So my first step out of the gate is to get the advisors around the table and have a conversation. And the last thing I would say is that you as the owner should consider really three things. One, what kind of life cycle is your business at, right? Businesses run in life cycles. I think you should consider your age. So if you're 65 years old in the middle of our current environment right now, and you get a really good offer, I think that might be an opportunity, but I think you should consider your age. And I think you should consider the overall private capital markets, right? I don't think we can ever time any of that, but those are three considerations to think about. But bottom line, if you could drive something home, I would always entertain an opportunity. I would listen and then bring it right to my advisory team, because that is what they're there to do, and they will guide you through that process.
It's good practical advice at a generally can be a very emotional time as well.
Well, you're going to need some support, both from a technical standpoint, and frankly, guys, I know most owners probably aren't into these more soft issues, but it's a tough decision and a very emotional decision. I could tell you that the properly trained advisor with a holistic look, like you are, will be there for the owner to lean on, both from a standpoint of having somebody to chat with, have a business conversation with, or have a very technical conversation with as well.
Well, I sincerely thank you for taking the time today. I think it's highly valuable in the world we're in right now with a ton. It's into the billions and billions of dollars of businesses that will be transitioning. And we touched upon it, whether it's in your family, it's employees, it's management, or just an outside buyer. There's going to be a whole lot of businesses transitioning over the next even 5 years. So it is something we said at the beginning, thinking about your exit, it is a business strategy. And I think you would agree, the earlier you start, the better.
Earlier, the better, guys. Absolutely. Earlier, the better. You can drive value in your business right now. And if you're focused on driving business value right now, you will be making more income as well. and having a better company. And so it's something that you should be doing right now. Absolutely.
Well, thank you again, Scott. I truly appreciate it. I would love to have you back, and maybe we can take, you know, some of these topics, dig a little deeper for business owners out there. Again, thank you so much for today.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Remember to subscribe and give us your feedback, and to stay safe, healthy, and also to save and invest in yourself, your future, your family, your health, and your time, and to try to serve others, and you will live a truly rich life.